that we have to double our efforts in the West and the West Bank. So right now we're not. It's not enough to have one medical delegation weekly. We're having two medical delegations, and we have also many many work around securing medicine. That is also something that these communities are in need of, because a lot of the pharmacies are now being closed without having any access of medicine to and from them. So yeah, and other than what we are doing on the ground with our mobile clinics, we are also extensively working in advocating internationally for an action. And this is where I also join AIDS call. What we are seeing in the West Bank is, as I said, military state-backed terror that is being done with no interference whatsoever. People are losing their lands, and they're not having any insurance that they will ever get back to them. And so what we need here is for the international community to take a firm stance against these breaches of international law. And we need to have persistent work towards a future where health and development and well-being and resilience of the Palestinian communities in the West Bank and in Gaza are not only ideals, but concrete reality that we strive to. And with that, I will finish.
Yes. Thank you very much, Haya. We will also see a few pictures of what Haya was talking about, an example of a mobile clinic.
So this is a mobile clinic that took place in Farah. What we usually do is we take a municipal building. Most of the time, it's a school building or the municipality itself. Here it's a school. And we just use it as a medical center. You see here, it's symbolic that that a school is being used as to treat people. These are photos, I think, from Medico's last trip.
Yes, from Medico Germany, our colleagues in Frankfurt. Yeah.
This is, I'm not really sure the area, but the area is probably north and west bank, but not sure on the exact village. But this has been the reality since this is a daily reality nowadays. Burning of houses, burning of properties, displacement, despair.
So thank you very much, Haya. Also, Ayed, are you still with us? So, okay, my colleague is trying to reach him and we will see that he will come back to us. I think it's really great or like really important the picture that you could draw for us, the two contributions together. It's really also a really good summary you gave us about the situation in the West Bank. And I think we see really good in both of the talks that the attacks are really on every aspect of life. In Gaza, but also in the West Bank, forced movement, and yeah, all this I think is really a confirmation that it's a topic of ethnic cleansing and really the intention of. Thank you. Yeah, so I guess because the time is already a bit advanced, we will open up to the discussion with you in the public directly. I guess I will first want to ask Maya Hess, who is also here, if she has a comment or a question for our guests. And if not, we can open up to the public directly. Okay, she wants to open up. So are there any comments or questions? And we are trying maybe first something for Haya, so until we have Ayed back with us, or also in general for both.
I'm Barbara. I have a question regarding the mobile clinic that goes into the West Bank. You mentioned before how sometimes the roads are blocked and the checkpoints and everything. So I just wonder how you get the medical teams in and out and the material and the medicines. Is it always possible, or do you have problems there as well?
There are two answers. One of them, that the head of the mobile clinic, Salah Haj Yahya, has been doing this work for over 20 years. He is so familiar with every centimeter in the West Bank, and so he always knows how to get to whatever he's supposed to get. We don't know how. Not always we know how. But he gets there safely. Lately, we have been we're being more concerned over safety issues because settlers and soldiers are getting more familiar with our work, and they see our minibus, and so when they know how to get there. We still haven't had any violent incident, and sometimes we do have delegations that are cancelled a minute before because we know that the risk of sending out the delegation is more than we can take. But yeah, it's using alternative roads and very tricky ways to get to where we want to get.
Ich spreche von Hilfsgütern wie medizinische Medikamente oder für Operationen und auch Nahrungsmittel. Wie viel kommt jetzt aktuell von Israel, wie viel kommt von Ägypten oder wie viel kommt von anderen Ländern? Und merkt man, dass es zunimmt oder ist es immer noch sehr wenig Hilfsmittel, die kommen?
So I will repeat the question in English. The question is about the humanitarian and medical aid entering Gaza. How the situation is recently, if there was an improvement, if there is more coming in, how much is coming from Israel, from Egypt, from other countries, and how this is working. Aid, I give you the word.
Okay. First of all, let me explain this. Before 7th of October, daily it was being entered through the crossing, different crossings around or between 500 to 600 trucks daily, carried food, water, medicine, and other supplies, all the needs of Gaza. From 7th of October until the end of November, or beginning even of Israeli occupation, they don't allow to enter anything to Gaza. After some mediation amongst, through the mediators, Israeli started to enter a few trucks on November, few trucks with food and fuel. When they reached the truce on November 23 or 22 of November, it was being lasted for 1 week, Israel allowed to enter 200 trucks full with humanitarian aids, with medicine, and other need for Gaza. And of course, it is not cover the demands of Gaza, because it is, as I mentioned before for other people, it is a drop of the ocean of the needs and the demands of Gaza population. And later on, it was Israeli authorities allowed to enter daily few trucks. Sometimes it is reached 100 or less than 100 trucks. In the last 3 weeks, they increasing after, in the last few weeks, I think at beginning of April or end of March, at beginning of April, they increasing the number of trucks after the speech about starvation in the north and after the killing of the humanitarian staff who are working with the World Central Kitchen. Israel increased the number of trucks, and it is not reached 150 trucks daily. I should mention that Israel, they control everything enter to Gaza, and they put special requirement and the criteria to follow it. Until today, they don't allow, as example, oxygen cylinders for the patients. They don't allow some kind of medicine to allow to Gaza. They don't allow some kind of goods to enter to Gaza. And even they should inspect every trucks entering to Gaza. And the trucks, they are waiting at the Egyptian border. There are hundreds or thousands of trucks. They are waiting for few weeks to enter to Gaza. Last week, we at PMRS succeeded to receive some medicine. Part of the medicine, it was being donated by Medico Switzerland, and thanks for their support, for their donation. And we received it after a few weeks from this donation, and we received it with cooperation with some other international NGO, because we as a local NGO, we haven't tried to enter this humanitarian aids or medicine. The situation in general, it is still too difficult. Of course, it is not improved because the important, as I mentioned before, the important, first of all, it is important to stop the killing. It is important to reach ceasefire, because even if Israeli authorities will allow more trucks without reaching the ceasefire, the humanitarian situation, it will be not improved. Why is that? I am asking, and I am focusing usually how to reach the ceasefire. It is too important for us. And for a humanitarian, of course, the Palestinian-Egyptian border, it is Palestinian-Egyptian border, and Israelis, they haven't tried to control or to prevent. But what's happening in the reality, no. Israel, they control everything entering to Gaza, and they don't allow even the medical teams to enter to Gaza, only after a special coordination through WHO, World Health Organization, and other UN agencies, and sometimes they don't let some people to enter. They don't let any even international or Western passport who is from Palestinian roots to enter to Gaza.
Yes, first I would like to thank you, Haya, and your organization, Physicians for Human Rights, because thanks to you, Miami, in our project of psychosocial help and training in Gaza, thanks to you, you facilitated us the entrance in Eretz checkpoint, because the permit, to get the permit, is so much work and there are so much blockades, but thank you, we reached it during 20 years. And then I'm Ursula. I just want to express my feelings to you. I'm so happy to see you alive. I'm so sad also that you are not here. And of course, to know how many of our beloved colleagues who got to be friends, like our families, have died or are now in danger to die. And I wanted to ask you, if you talked about psychosocial, our work, can it go on? For instance, Amna and Mohammed, are they alive? Because we don't know if all the people, all the colleagues we have trained, if they are alive. There is no communication. And thank you, Aed. So happy to see you.
Thank you, Ursula. Sorry, I don't hear all the words, your words, because it for the connection. But at the end, I heard that you asking about Amna and Mohammed and my colleagues. Thank you. All of them, they are suffering, such other people. Amna still working with Palestinian Medical Relief Society, and Mohammed also, he is working with Medicine Frontier. And also Mohammed family, I think they left to Egypt. Myself, I arrived to Cairo here a few weeks ago, and I am waiting to return back to Gaza, and I hope that it will be soon. I am not sure when it will be happening, but at least when the ceasefire or the humanitarian truce will be reached, I think they will be allowed us to return back. And I hope that it will be soon. Sorry, I don't hear your question first. If there is something I should reply, please repeat.
I have a question. How is the emotional and psychological condition of your teams in Gaza? How they bear this difficult situation?
Did you hear, Aed? It was Maya.
Not very well.
And she asked about the emotional and mental
psychosocial
well-being also of the teams working, of the staff?
Again, it is the psychosocial situation, not only for the team, for everyone in Gaza. It is so difficult. And all of us, we are in need for psychosocial support. But here is the problem. The people who are working in the ground, who should to help the people, he is in need for help. Here is the situation. And why that? We are trying. We are trying to help our staff. But of course, it is in these circumstances, it is too difficult. Because the majority, again, the majority of the people, they lost their houses, they left their beloved people. They are, every day, they are worried about their safety. Every day, they witness some new killing people. They bombing near them. You can imagine how the situation, how the psychosocial situation will be. Even that, we at PMRS try to alleviate something, but of course, I am sure it will be not possible to reach the normal situation, psychosocial situation before the ceasefire. We are planning, of course, later on to organize some called helpers for the people, who are working with us.
Thank you, Ayed. I guess we can take one or two more questions or comments, and then I will ask Haya and Ayed to give like some closing words from their sides. Are there any other questions or comments from the audience? Okay, then, well, yeah, I think I also sometimes don't find the words anymore. And I mean, the effects already now, all what Ayed and Haya are sharing and what we can see and read, maybe not so much in Swiss or European media, but if we inform ourselves on international media too. And well, the effects already now, but then how, like, how many really deep effects this will have for a long future, even if we reach this so needed ceasefire. I think I will first give the word again to Haya to say something you think it's important for you or you want to share on the end.
I want to start by a personal note, not related to my work in PHRI. I heard Ayed speak about his father, and I myself am a granddaughter of a Nakba survivor. My grandmother and grandfather were expelled from their village in northern Palestine in 1948. And my grandmother always told us her Nakba story, and it sounds painfully similar to what Ayed is now describing. The being torn apart from your place, from your community, from the land you grew up on, exposes people to such grave vulnerability and suffering. And so we always talk in a way that, you know, divides Palestinians in the West Bank and Palestinians in Gaza, but Palestinians have a similar story wherever they are. And it's also important to raise awareness about this issue. Expulsion of people from their lands and the expulsion from of people from their communities is a cause to fight for and is a cause to seek justice to. And so it's I ask for you to keep talking, keep Gaza and keep Palestine in the discourse, in the international discourse, in the environment around you. If you are students, then talk about it in your studential life. Talk about it with your governors. These words have effect, even though we don't feel it immediately. But if each and every one of us feels small and insignificant, then we will all be, silent about atrocities that are being committed. So keep the discussion or keep the voices up on Gaza and on Palestine.
Radio Lora. Endlos Sounds.
Endlos Sounds. 120 Stunden Musik am Stück.
Vom 13. bis zum 18. August während 5 Tagen von 5 Orten. Endlos Sounds macht die Vielfalt der Musik aus verschiedensten Genres erlebbar, lädt ein zur Vernetzung, zum Austausch, zu Tanz und Diskussion.
Über 70 DJs begleitet von spannenden Workshops. Komm vorbei oder schalt ein auf Radio Lora 97,5.
Alle Informationen findest du unter endlos.lora.ch.